Today the Lord has made. Let us all be glad and rejoice in it. Good to see everybody, especially visitors. And some don't know too well. Some I've known for a long time, still don't know well enough. And we hope that continues. I'm not that I don't know them well enough, but our acquaintanceship and our friendship. Now, some of you people were listening, and the rest of you are just turning your minds on, so you didn't understand. Maybe you did, but you're getting used to it. Anyway, we're very glad that everybody is here, and want to look at Revelation 20 and verse 15 that was read at the beginning. That's such a short reading, I almost thought about asking Terry to read it twice. But anyway, it gives one pause to read it, where he says, this is in Revelation 20 and verse 15, and if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. Now, some people engage in what we call book worship. And the idea is that books are the most important, precious thing. I remember years ago, somebody was a member of a book club, and they ordered a bunch of books. And some of them were a little bit off color. And I said, why don't you just toss them in the garbage can? They make great fire starters. And, it's a book. You can't burn a book. Oh, watch. You know, if it's no good and it's just trash, then let it be trash. And don't get to the point where you just think that anything is okay. Now, there are a lot of books. Some are good and some are bad and some are indifferent. You know, over in Acts, the 19th chapter, those who practiced magical arts brought all their books together when they heard the gospel and burned them. And sometimes that's the fate that books ought to have. Some books ought to have, as they're not worth anything. Maybe because they have things in them that are not wholesome or healthy, or maybe because they, in and of themselves, are a complete, total waste of time. We'll let you be the judge of that. But at least use some judgment. Now, this lesson focuses on one book, and that is the Book of Life. You'll notice at the very first slide that I have there, it said, this evening's lesson is the Book of Life. There's something wrong with my computer. It won't let you change anything and save it. So what we see is what we get this morning. I don't think we'll have any surprises, okay? But what is the Book of Life? And there are people in the church, who have been in the church for a long time, who do not understand what the Book of Life is. First of all, the Book of Life is not the Bible. It's not even the New Testament, not the one that he refers to here. It's something altogether different. The New Testament is referred to as the law of the Spirit of life in Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. There Paul writes, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and of death. The New Testament is that law of Spirit and of life. Look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 20. Acts chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, for I don't think this is the passage I'm looking for. That's chapter 4 and verse 20. And so chapter 5 and verse 20 says, go ye and stand and speak in the temple all the words of this life, that which is contained in the New Testament, of the words of this life. Look at John chapter 12 and verse 48. John chapter 12 and verse 48. Now there it says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. And then you combine that with John chapter 6 and verse 68. And there Peter says to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Now, the idea here is that the gospel, the words of Jesus, are the standard for us to live by. And living by them, we have eternal life. We have access to eternal life. They are the word of life. Now, that doesn't mean that the New Testament is the Book of Life. In fact, when you look at Revelation chapter 20, you find that the Book of Life is present on Judgment Day, but notice what it says. Revelation 20 and verse 12, "And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened." Books. "And another book was opened, which is the Book of Life, and the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the book." No. Out of the books that were opened. There's a distinction made between the Book of Life and the books out of which we're going to be judged. And then in verse 15 it says, "If any was not found written in the Book of Life, he was cast in the lake of fire." Well, friends, your name is not in the New Testament. Chris, I was going to call you Dennis Scroggins. Chris, the name Chris Mincer is not in the New Testament. David Baker is not found in the New Testament. But our names are in the Book of Life, I hope. Now, the idea of Book of Life, it's a figure of speech that has some significance to us as Christians, and it is a figure of speech that is used in the Bible often enough so that when it is used, people know what he's talking about. Or whoever is speaking, they know what he's talking about. Now, In the Bible, there's oftentimes reference made to a register of names, and such was common among the Jews. And we look at some passages that point that out. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created the man in the likeness of God, he made he him." And this is that one of those parts of the Bible you don't like to read. So-and-so begat so-and-so, and we begat so-and-so, and this is short enough, and it is interesting, and it has some important things in it. People still don't like to read it because it's a list of names. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 5, it says, "My God put into my heart to gather together the nobles and the rulers and the peoples, that they may be reckoned by genealogy. And I found the book of the genealogy of them that came up at the first, and I found written therein," and he goes to name the people he found written therein. Again, a list of names that is pertinent to spiritual things. Now, Ezekiel 13 and verse 9 says, "And my hand shall be against the prophets that see false visions and divine lies. They shall not be in the council of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. Neither shall they enter the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord Jehovah. They'll not be written in the writing of the house of Israel." They won't be included in list of names. And it's the same in the New Testament. Just one passage as an example is Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. Now it says, "Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you." The disciples came back to Jesus, that is the 70 that were sent out on the limited commission, and they were amazed that even the demons were subject to them. They could cast out demons. "But rejoice not in this, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And the reason I say it's a figure of speech is God doesn't need a book. He's got total recall, if you will. But it is a way of expressing the idea or the notion that God knows you and who you are if you're one of His. Now, I've got news for you. If you're not one of His, He still knows who you are. He knows your name. But He doesn't claim you. He doesn't recognize you. But if He does and you're approved, then you are included in this Book of Life or this register of names as we have called it here in the lesson. Now, whose names are written there? Was that song we sing, "Is My Name Written There on the Page Bright and Fair?" Well, is my name written in the Book of Life? Well, Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, the 70 that Jesus sent out, "Nevertheless, this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Well, why? Because they had been doing God's work, the work that Jesus sent them out to do. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. Now it says there, yea, I beseech thee also, you true yoke fellow, help these women, for they labored with me in the gospel, and with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are written in the book of life. People who work for the Lord, their names are written in the book of life. God knows them, and He recognizes them, and He claims them. Another passage is Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, where it says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation given to the same time. And that at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book, those who's going to be delivered? Those who are written in the book, the people of God. Here's the idea. These are the people that God claims again. Look at Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Then they that feared Jehovah spake with one another, and Jehovah hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Jehovah and thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith Jehovah of hosts, even mine own possession in the day that I make, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. They shall be mine. Who? Those who feared me and thought upon my name. They shall be mine, saith Jehovah's oath, mine own possession in the day that I make. Well, how are we going to distinguish? Well, they're going to be written in the book of remembrance. And then finally, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23 says something that is rather peculiar about the record of the names of the faithful. Hebrews 12 and verse 23, the writer is talking about the church as opposed to the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel had come to Mount Sinai, which was shaken and darkened and smoked and quaked, and the people feared. He says in verse 22, but ye are come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and the innumerable host of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. Is my name written there? Is your name written there? It's a question of heaven and hell. Now, how do we get our names there? Well, if the church is those who are enrolled in heaven, the church of the firstborn who enrolled in heaven, Hebrews chapter 12 says, then by getting into the church. Look at Hebrews, First Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13 says, for in one spirit were we all baptized into one body. How do we get into the church? Well, we're baptized into the one body. If you've been baptized, your name has been written in the book. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, we find the significance of that is this, for the husband is head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, being himself the Savior of the body, the Savior of the church. So what we're talking about is our names are written there when we're saved, when we're baptized into Christ or baptized into the church. There's not the great theological discussion on the need to be baptized. That's assumed that people know that. But what does it do? It records your name in heaven as being one of God's people. Another way of putting this, we go back to Revelation 20 and verse 15, the passage of our text, where he says, and if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. But now, compare that and combine it with 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 7 through 9. It says there, and to you that are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angel of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of His might. Here he talks about those being punished who obey not the gospel. If your name is not written in the book, you have your part in the lake of fire. If you don't obey, you get punished. Those who obey, the point is, their names are written in the book of life. Those who do what God says. And not just initially, but make it the rule of their life. What does it take to be saved? What are the steps of salvation? Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and what's next? Oh, there's nothing else after that. Yes, there is. Whatever happened to living faithfully? Whatever happened to that? I'm not talking about the requirement. What happened to the living faithfully? The actual living of being faithful? Well, a lot of us forget that. You've got a ticket punched. We can do basically what we want. Nobody's going to tell us what to do, and on and on and on. But God has some expectations of us if we're going to be saved. If our names are going to be written in the book, the obedience is not just an initial obedience, but it's an obedient life. Now, your name can be blotted out of the book of life. A lot of people don't realize that. It's not written in indelible ink. In fact, it's written in pencil, and the pencil's got a big eraser on the other end. And people don't know that. So, you look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. Revelation 3 and verse 5, "He that overcometh shall be thus arrayed with white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels," before his angels. But what if we don't overcome? That promise is not ours unless we overcome. Look at Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. "I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any shall take away from the words of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city." And the King James Version says, "out of the book of remembrance, from the things which are written." We're going to take our names out of the book of life? Because that's, in actuality, who does it? We do it if we lose. We do it by our disobedience. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 33, it says, "And Jehovah said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." Well, what's he talking about? He's talking about those who are in the wilderness following Moses to the promised land who don't remain faithful. Well, who would that be? A bunch of them. Psalm 69, verses 26 through 28. "For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten. They tell of the sorrow of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of life, and not written with righteousness." Who's he talking about? He's talking about the enemies of God and those who would persecute his people. Well, we have to ask ourselves, is this important? And what does it have to do with our destiny? Well, Revelation 20 and verse 15 says it cast into the lake of fire. Now, in one of my more silly moments, I put down Lakers. Make them Lakers. That's not Los Angeles Lakers, I hope. But being a Phoenix Suns fan, I kind of enjoy the humor. Okay? Do you want to be cast into a lake of fire? I don't think so. And yet, that is the fate of those who will not allow their name to stay written there by their bad behavior. Look at Revelation 3 and verse 5. Revelation 3 and verse 5, "He that overcometh shall be thus arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father with his angels." Well, he that overcomes, his name will be written in the book of life. And Jesus is going to confess our name. He is going to proclaim his knowledge and acceptance of us. There's no greater blessing than for Jesus and God to claim ownership with reference to us. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, in that we should be called the children of God." 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. There is no greater blessing. It's ours if our names are written in the book, and our names are written in the book if we overcome. Revelation 21 and verse 27. "And there shall in no wise enter into it," that is the heavenly city, "anything unclean, or he that maketh an abomination, or a lie, and a lie, but only they that are written in the Lamb's book of life." Entrance into the eternal city. You get to go to heaven. Is that a bad deal? For some people, for maybe some of us, it's not enough. God doesn't want to impose heaven upon people who don't want to go there. You can have your treasure. You can have your relationships. You can have your prestige. You have all the fun you want right here. But somewhere along the line, we've got to give an answer for what we've done. We want to make sure that our names are written in the book of life. And sometimes that means putting that before all that other stuff, or giving all that other stuff up so that we might put Jesus first. And the question is, can we do it? Will we do it? We've actually come right down to this question. Have you obeyed the gospel? If you've obeyed the gospel, have you been faithful? Are you diligently at work for Jesus today? Those things are important to us if we're going to have our names written in the book of remembrance, in the book of life. There may be somebody here this morning who has not rendered obedience to the Lord. We'd ask you to seriously consider your soul's condition. And if you haven't been baptized into Christ, you need to be to get your name written there. If you have been baptized but you haven't been living right, your name can be blotted out, but it doesn't have to be. Paul says in Romans 8 and verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." If there's something amiss in your life, you need to ask God for forgiveness as you repent of whatever sin it is you have in your life. And if we can help you, we're ready to do that. If we can help you getting baptized, we're ready to do that. We offer an invitation by singing a song. And if you're subject to that invitation, please come to the front while we stand and sing.